We are forgetting. It's not our fault. As time passes by and the wars which have had a direct impact on our lives here move farther and farther into the distant past, our collective memory fades. We do our best. We teach our children in their history lessons. We wear our poppies. We gather at services around the country. We observe our 2-minute silence. But it's sufficiently in the past now that there aren't many left who were there, who saw, who heard, who did. We know that it's important to remember. They've told us it's important to remember. But I'm not sure that those of us who've never experienced war have the imagination to fully grasp why. Not at a heart level. My grandfather died a few years ago, and he'd fought in the Second World War, but would never talk about what happened. His experience tormented him for his entire life, but the only way we knew that was because he had regular night terrors, which would bring him back to those moments of, well, who knows? We've been told some of the horrors. We've depicted them in films. And of course, the news gives us glimpses of foreign countries around the world where war is still a present reality. But for most of us, we live knowing about war, but not knowing war. And so we have to work hard to do our best to remember. To remember that behind each of the names on these two boards, there is a story of a person and a life lived, but brutally cut short by war. We have snippets in there of their stories in the Book of Remembrance, which David, a member of our congregation, meticulously compiled for us. People like Private Henry Leslie Cottle, who was born in Lee. He lived on Manor Lane Terrace, not 5 minutes away from here. He married his sweetheart, Annie Sadler, when he was 27, and they went on to have 7 children. And he was a builder by trade, but became a soldier, and he fought in World War I. And he survived that war. And then when it came to the Second World War, he was too old to fight. So he served locally as an ARP, an air raid precaution warden. And it was their job to make sure that people were safe during air raids, so that when everyone else was finding cover, he was the one making sure that they found it. But he himself would have remained outside, in the danger zone, with a tin helmet, a red whistle, and a bucket of sand, in case any incendiary bombs hit and needed putting out sharpish. You didn't want those little beacons of light giving enemy planes a shiny target. And it was during an air raid on the 29th of December, 1940, that he was killed by one of those bombs, leaving his wife without a husband and 7 children without their dad. And it was not long after that, in 1941, that another one of those bombs dropped right here where we are, and it burned this church to the ground. J.B. Phillips, the vicar at the time, spoke about the experience, and he said this. He said, "Every firefighting appliance was directed to save our vital food supplies. No water pump could be spared to save a building, however beloved. And it was poignant indeed for us to stand helplessly by and see the church blaze into ruins." We need to remember that there was a time when war was here, when it was our community being ripped apart by bombs, when Private Henry Leslie Cottle could have been your father or your brother or your son. We need to remember and then do everything we can to try and make sure it doesn't happen again. do everything we can to promote and live lives of peace. Peace within ourselves. Peace with our neighbours. Peace with the world. I feel like we're once again living in a time of rising tensions at every level of society. Aggression is rising as our arguments are becoming more heated, our positions more polarized, our divisions more divisive, and our language more combative. We have increasing political unrest and uncertainty in our country, and increasing political unrest and uncertainty on the global stage. Earlier this week, an interview with Mikhail Gorbachev, he warned that the rising tension between Russia and the West is putting the world in colossal danger, as both pulled out of the treaty which ended the arms race in the 90s, and both blamed the other side for the demise of the treaty. In a world and society where tensions are growing, we need to be makers of peace. The psalm we read earlier spoke to a world in upheaval, about a God of peace. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. In a world where everything feels unsteady and uncertain, we are invited to take refuge in a God of peace. Nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, but God lifts his voice and the earth melts. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He tells us to be still and know that he is God. Be still. Our God is not a God of war, but a God of peace. Be still. The word for still here is like the word enough. It has that sense of exasperation, which I imagine is like the times in my household when my children are constantly at each other and bickering and the noise level is rising and everything is growing more and more intense until I cry out, enough! Be still. When anger is rising and tempers are flaring, when blood is boiling and adrenaline is pumping, when the temptation to lash out at whoever we disagree with or see as our enemy grows, we need to stop. Enough. Be still. And in that stillness, allow God to be God. To allow God's love and God's peace to pour into us, to fill us and flow out of us, so that we can be makers of peace. Peace within ourselves, peace with our neighbors, peace with the world. I have never experienced war. I cannot know, not really. And so I will end with a quote from someone who was there, from 94-year-old Harry Billinge, the D-Day veteran, who was interviewed on BBC Breakfast on Friday. And when asked what message he wanted to give young people today, he said this: I hope that they will learn to love one another. There's a lot of hate in the world, a lot of greed, and a lot of nonsense. And a little later he said, I don't think we shall ever come round. Turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. We've been stupid. We're so clever, we can blow one another up. But you don't love one another. And that's the strongest thing on earth. Love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. remember.